Just a really quick Google search on swim lane diagrams to show you some of the variety of styles that show up. You'll see some of them are vertical, some of them are horizontal. Some of them look pretty similar to something like we just did, right? So swim lane diagrams over here looks a lot like what we did. This one looks a lot like what we did. This one does also. Some of these like that. I'm not entirely sure what they're communicating, but boy. It's called confusing swim lane, even. Awesome. But you can see in some cases, for those of you who took the Information Design 1 class, you remember the workflows that we did. So you can see shapes that look familiar to you that are embedded within the swim lane. So you can imagine it's even possible to merge the swim lane and the workflow so that you can talk about different types of steps in the experience, and then when it branches and goes to other parts or other components of the experience. So multiple lanes, multiple directions, or really similar small number of lanes, relatively linear flows. There's a lot of variety in how swim lanes can be completed. So just a few other examples, easy to find on Google for those. Lots of good questions, lots of good ideas as well. And it helped us do some preliminary thinking around some of the key things we've been talking about. What are people's expectations? What are the mental models they're coming in with? How can we simplify this? How can we be smart? How can we reduce time and effort and error and be considerate in the design? The whole idea of, not to knock Max's idea of the tap, 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 that makes perfect sense, right? The more I tap, the more the quantity is. But when we think about it from an efficiency standpoint, we make a different decision. Can we collect the same information in a single tap? Yes. And then that's probably, as long as it is equally clear and understandable, that's probably the preferred method because I can move through much more quickly. I don't have to have an explicit selection, next, selection, next, selection, next, selection, next. Right? I can have an implicit next. Selection goes. Selection goes. Selection goes. So I can consolidate taps. One tap can mean multiple things. Choose and proceed. So I don't have to separate those actions. All right. The remaining work we're going to be doing in class tonight, we can do this as a choice. It's your call. Show of hands. I can either pull up the screen, turn off the projector, turn the lights back on, and we can erase the swim lane. Well, we'll keep it up there and see if we have room to work over here. We can sketch out some ideas for the interface, just sort of as I've become the hands of the group brain out there, hive mind, robot hands. Or we can break down into the groups, and you can do wireframe sketches based on the swim lane diagram that we have for the coffee vending machine. So if it's a touch screen, how might we do things like, I want to go back and change something? How do we display what step of how many we are on so that I have a sense of place and a progress meter, right? Some feedback, how much do I have to go here? What's my order as it builds? Does it have a price as I go? All of those questions. So would you rather a sort of real-time, messy, messy whiteboard sketch or a group sketch on paper? Experience this evening.
Whiteboard.
Whiteboard. In group. I think the whiteboard won. There's a whole bunch of people who didn't vote. I am up here writing on this board. You said whiteboard, whiteboard, whiteboard. You're like the first one to holler it out. If I turn around and you're asleep, then we're gonna have fun. Okay, so we'll do the whiteboard. I will turn this off then. I'll turn off the projectors. Just so you know, the assignment for next week is going to be concept sketches. Let me go down to where we are. Three. Okay. You're going to be doing your first set of wireframes for the digital interface. You've been focusing so far on the physical and environmental aspects of what's going on. Now it's time to get into the digital interface. The next two assignments are wireframes for that. I want you to focus this time on the primary states or screens. When we did the swim lane diagram, the primary states are basically the points where I'm making all of the choices, right? There may be other intermediate states or odd error conditions or things like that that you would eventually have to wireframe out. Like, what if the machine is still able to make coffee, but it's out of hazelnut flavoring? How do I show that hazelnut is not available, right? That would be another wireframe for that particular page, so it's an alternate state. Or what if there's a failure in the payment method? There's an error condition in the payment method. How do I display? Sorry, your credit card was rejected. In the initial set of wireframes, we're not going to worry about the error states or the weird corner cases. We're just going to hit the major touch points. So that said, you'll be doing the wireframes. There's not a number of wireframes that is specified here because each of you has so much variability in the projects that you're doing. If the major states of your interface are captured in 4 wireframes, fine. If it takes 7, that's what it takes to get the major states. But I don't think any of you have projects that are so complex that you're going to have like 30 messy wireframes that you're dealing with. You're probably still only going to have a handful of wireframes. And at this point in time, you're probably so used to wireframing that just, you know, put on your headphones and crank away and it happens. All right, any questions on the assignment? Okay, now we get to test Dave's real-time sketching efforts. And light that one. Probably didn't even need to do this. Okay, we're going to use this as our model. We're going to make a few assumptions right now just to make it easier for this exercise. I'm not going to start with the proximity, the attract loop, whether or not there's a loyalty card in a language selector. We're just going to drop in and we're going to start at this point and we'll kind of go as far as we can, which probably won't be very far because we've only got half an hour. But we're going to start there. If you were doing these for your, if this was your project, we would need to see what happens at the beginning, right? Like a welcome, choose your language, swipe a loyalty card, something like that. There would be a starting point in your wireframes, and then you would drop into the coffee. This is the more complex part, so we'll start with that. All right. Are we assuming that we have sort of a standard ratio screen, like a 4x3 touch screen, you know, 1024 by 768 kind of size? It's not like we're trying to do this on a tiny little screen, right? We're going to have some nice real estate to work with. So we can imagine we've got something that is iPad-like that we're working with on this device. Okay. Oh, and speaking of, I got one. My first Apple product ever. Yeah, and I have to say, I got, boy, did I get dismissed on Twitter last week. So I put up a little tweet. I'm not seeing this vaunted UX of this vaunted Apple UX because there were a few things that I was trying to do with the organization of the interface. And I read the instructions, went to the website. I'm like, why can't I move this icon from this page to that page? Why won't it go over there? Why won't this icon go into this folder? No matter what, and I was playing chase the folder. I don't know, if anyone has an iPad, you've ever tried to do that, to get something to go into a folder and you spend all of your time chasing the folder around the screen? It's like, it's really not whack-a-mole, it'd go, and it wouldn't. So I posted a legitimate question, how do I make this happen? Ooh, boy, talk about getting slammed from fanboys. They're like, you've been trained to be stupid by Windows. And I'm like, I use both machines. I know how to do this. Why won't this happen? And then, well, it's clearly a different type of folder. And I'm like, well, or a different type of icon. And I'm like, well, what's the visual hinting? What are the cues here? So that I know which will do this and which won't do this, which will go into a folder and which don't. And they're like, well, it contains things. That makes it a folder. And I'm like, well, iTunes contains things and it went into a folder, and Notes contains things and it went into a folder, and Photos contains things and it went into a folder, but Newsstand contains things and won't go into a folder. And then they're like, ah, you're stupid, case closed. And I was like, I don't really think I'm stupid, but... Yeah, I was like, ooh, okay, I'm not going to get into that argument anymore. Yeah, iOS is magnificent. No, wait, sorry, magical. Okay, so we're going to make our first choice. First thing we want to think about as we get into this is progress, right? How do I indicate how many steps I am or where I am? How am I going to build my order? And how am I going to make sure that someone knows that they can go back and make corrections? So do I need an explicit back? Maybe not. We're going to operate under the assumption no, at least initially, right? So if I can strip that out of the UI and keep it focused and simplified, I'm going to do that. That said, sometimes being really explicit and very visible and visual about things is the best solution. If people don't see it, they don't get it. Remember the concept of perceivability. They have to know that the opportunity to interact exists in order to interact. So we've got to be able to communicate that to people. Let's start off with just a really simple status approach. How many steps we've got? Size, strength, temperature, dairy for sweetener and flavor and review. So 7, right?
So when you do the breadcrumbs, you are actually already making it into steps.
Up here?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
But I think before the break you said you do not want to make them into a sequential order.
Did I?
Yeah.
Not a sequential order?
Yeah. I mean, I my question here is that, like, did you just make a decision that you wanted to go with a sequential order?
Well, in this particular case, yeah, simply. I don't think we're going to be able to pack everything onto a single touch screen, so I'm only going to be able to show one or a selection or a subset of these options at any given time, right? I may be able to combine some based on the availability of the space, but if it's a touch screen and we're going to say it's relatively iPod size, things are going to have to be big, right? Fat finger syndrome. Yeah. So I'm going to have at least a certain, Apple recommends 44 pixels, at least I'm going to have 44 pixels per touch zone. So I'm not going to be able to fit all of this on one touch screen, but I may be able to combine them or consolidate. Right? So I may be able to consolidate. And so a compound, Max was talking on break, a compound selector would really simplify this, where size, strength, and temperature are three different things, but if we had a limited number of combinations available to us, like two strengths, you get cappuccino or you get coffee. You get two sizes, small or large, and you get two temperatures, hot or iced. If that's the case, there's only 8 possible combinations. We could have a compound selector. I just touch the cup of the one that I want. One touch, tap, large iced coffee, right? And the first three things are selected right away. On the other hand, if I've got multiples here, 3 times 4 is 12 times 2 is 24. I've got 24 possible combinations. I'm not going to be able to easily fit those, or may not be able to easily fit those meaningfully into a single UI, and so I break them out to be simpler. So it depends on the number of combinations that are here and what the total number is and what actually fits in a meaningful way. I would not be able to combine it with dairy and sweetener all in one, right? That's going to start to get much more complicated. But I could potentially consolidate these three. And that's what this one is doing. So these are individual selectors. This is compound selector, because multiple options are being specified in a single tab. Right? So let's just operate initially. And we may completely change this when we get into the UI. Let's operate under the assumption that we're going to streamline this. One tap means selection is made, proceed to the next, so that at most it's going to take 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, maybe more here, 6 taps in order to get to a cup of coffee, 6 selections. That last one's tricky, remember, because I might be able to pick multiples of something. So I could say cinnamon and cocoa or something like that.
When you know, given the number of steps, you have to do like an express cup. You know how they have like fast cash on the ATMs? Like,
yeah.
What if someone just wants coffee black, standard size? They could just be one touch.
Yeah, I mean that could be. We could have inserted that. Like, I'll just write it in here. That's a great example. So at this point, at the very beginning, we may have something. I'm just going to call it recipe or blank. When we do product customization, mass customization design, so you go in and you like design your own shoes or your own coffee mug, your own Audi or something like that, There are two ways that you can start: with an existing base design, and then you just tweak it and modify it, or with a truly blank model where you specify everything, right? You get a car that is a white car with no trim and no interior, and you have to specify every component that you want. When we take a look at the research around that, 25% of people who create their own custom product start with something blank. 75% start with a standard beginning point, and then they tweak it. Coffee is a good example of where there may be half a dozen things that are really super common, right? And so it's the quick order concept. So we could, at this point, oh, Mark's carpet. And we could at this point have a quick start set of choices here. Maybe on this first page there's like four cups of coffee where it's a size and a strength and an amount of dairy and an amount of sweetener. And we know historically from this machine that these initial four recipes or configurations are the four most common things that are ordered at this machine, right? And so that becomes the quick. This is the one that I want. And when I do that, right, it skips the entire process. I just want a regular coffee with one sweetener. Medium coffee, you know, 10% dairy and one sugar is the recipe. Pick it and I'm out of here. I'm in and gone. Could be also a loyalty card thing, right? That's why we skip that. I know my favorite recipe. Swipe, it dispenses coffee and I'm on my way. Yeah. Do want to start with the idea of the recipe, the quick start, and how I might do that?
Yes.
And these recipes are like pre-selected, pre-mixed combination, predefined, right?
Yeah, they're predefined.
I mean, you can do graphical icons. I mean.
Yeah, yeah. Perfect. So we would take a look at the size of the screen. We have to think about the content density and the number of recipes that we could have, right? We know that we need, let's just say we'll...
grid?
I'm going to make a grid for us to work from. Let's just say we're going to do up to 8 recipes here. We know that one of them needs to be make your own. Right?
Mm-hmm.
The rest of them are ready-made things. And so they could be the 8 most common things. Or they could be things that start out, they make the first few choices and then drop you into the last two, right? So maybe these four are things, you know, I'm just gonna label them now. Coffee 1, coffee 2, coffee 3, coffee 4. And they specify everything, right? When I click one of these, I'm going to the review order, yes, I want this, give me my coffee page, and I'm not selecting anything else. The next recipes might specify the first bit, but then take me to the point where I choose sweetener and flavor, right? It's like, I want to configure some of it, but not all of it. So it could be something like coffee 5 plus, and then, or let's say, and choose.
Do you tell them that there's options to customize later on?
Make your own.
Well, what do you want to start with that? Then
yes, that's what this bottom
got
row.
It. Got it.
The top are all ready made. Yeah. I click and it's dispensed, right?
So the bottom row is a half finished.
Yes.
Product. Right. Okay.
Isn't there a point where there's just too many choices, though?
Yeah.
Like, it feels like this would take a lot of time, and it would be kind of stressful for the user.
My coffee machine stresses me out. That's not a good sign.
I would be stressed if I saw a screen like that, because in each of the categories you'd have a list of all these different...
Well. No, sorry.
No,
this is one recipe. So I just put a placeholder here. I would go back and then graphically we would have something, you know, that it would have a name, you know, like...
Right, but they have to read all that. Each thing. Because I thought each thing was a selection of all, it was choosing different.
Yeah, the fully custom one is, right? But let's say that the Americano, I have no idea, what's an Americano?
It's just water and.
Espresso and water.
Espresso and water? Okay, forget that. Okay.
Latte.
Café au lait, I know what that is. I'm from New Orleans, half coffee, half hot milk, or set. So we could write graphically where it's milk and coffee, so it's half coffee, half milk. It's got a name that I recognize, but now it's a hot item, so we could graphically, right, hot versus something, it's in a mug or whatever, versus something that's got ice cubes in it. So I know that one's iced. I know this one's hot. I've got steam coming off of it. So graphically, I've captured temperature, the mix of coffee and milk, the amount of sweetener, and any flavor. So it could be done just with text, unsweetened, unflavored, underneath it. I'm not sure how I would show it graphically. I suppose we could put something like a sugar packet with a none, you know, a red line through it, no sugar, right? I don't know what I would do for no flavor, or no flavorings, or plain, something like that. Plain, unsweetened. This is probably a case where text works better. Is that too much text? Or is that too much information? If I've got that section of the page to graphically say, it's a cafe au lait, it's half coffee, it's half milk, it's hot, it's plain and unsweetened. It pretty much captures everything from those seven items. So I could theoretically just touch this, and now I head to the last. Give me your money. Yeah.
You could have a screen before that says, has like three really simple things, like know what you want to build one, or you know, whatever, know what you want, not sure, you know you want to customize it. Those aren't the right words, semantics, but
right.
Step back a minute and have, you know, really simple screen.
Right, and that's what we've consolidated here,
yeah,
right?
But to answer her question of like, yeah. Maybe so you're not overwhelmed immediately.
You wouldn't know,
maybe it's only four choices that are on the screen, right? I picked eight just arbitrarily. There's no reason why it has to be eight. It could be a smaller number that feels more manageable. We also should be thinking about total number of steps, right? And this is where a judgment call comes in. I can't give you a number that says, oh, that's too many steps because it's more than n. Because n may work in some situations, n may not work in others. It may work to have yet another step before I even get here that pick your language, you know, and then the next one is, do you want to choose from a ready-made recipe or do you want to mix your own? And then go to the ready-made recipe, and then I find the ones that I want, and one of the options is, I don't like any of these, make my own, and it does make my own only. Or can we skip that? Can we just go, here's some, you know, quick and easy, select our most popular, right? And there's three choices there of things that are most popular. Get an Americano, get a latte, get a cappuccino, get a cafe, four choices. And then, or make your own. And it's just, it boils down to just that, you know, four choices plus a make your own. Yeah.
I would suggest even a simpler solution, have just one option initially, but with, graphically showing the option. So this amount of milk, this amount of that, this amount of that, and you can order with one button, or I don't know, swipe or do something with one of the parts of the screen to change this particular option. So you can customize it right away, and it's easier.
Or could I? How would we communicate, tap this part to edit this, and then where do I go, right? But I could say, pick this one, and on the review page, everything's listed out, and then I can tap to edit.
No, I mean, well, you have, for example, eight options on the screen, but it's all eight options is a part of just one order you have. So it's, for example, it's half milk, half coffee, it's a first one, amount of dairy. Second one,
It's a consolidated form of this.
Yes, but it's, well, there is already, like, a most common choice is made for you, but you can tap on one of this, for example, I don't know, slide a finger to change this particular one, not even switching to other screens, or you can just press pay and get the...
And get going.
Get the standard result.
So isn't that really kind of, let's say for an example, I'm just going to, so what's configured, what's in there, how many sugars, so milk, dairy, steaming, not hot,
yeah, it's
sugars.
A kind of a review screen, but you get it right away, and
right.
You can change it.
And so I could either, it could be tap on the screen, we could have a list of things at the top of the different things to change, but it's basically, here's a default, change what you want.
Just one. So yeah, so if you're in a hurry, for example, and you don't want to choose or customize, you don't need to even like look on all these choices that are pre-made, you just push the buy button and that's it.
I think I'm never going to drink coffee. Yeah, so we've got three different versions that we've looked at now, right? We started off with the idea of let's just step through and build our coffee. Then it's like, no, there's some common ones to start with. Let's get a quick recipe. And now we're at the model of everything's got a default and you just change what you want. So somewhere in there is going to be the solution that we pursue. On a larger scale, how do we figure out which one of these options?
Research.
Yeah, ideally, we're going to go out and we're going to see how are people ordering coffee. We'd be talking to them. What do you want to do? It may, although this idea seems like I know what the most popular coffee is, because it's an average, given the number of attributes, this average may actually never suit anyone, right? And they're always changing something, or they always feel like it's wrong, and so they have to make a correction to it. And it may not be about the number of clicks. It may actually be fewer clicks, but if it creates the perception that the machine is always wrong and I always have to correct it, it can lead to a negative experience. I don't know if that's what would happen, right? Research would hopefully tell us that.
Well, isn't that why Starbucks is so successful? It's because people like to go in there and say, I make a choice. Because they have these choices, so they're just going to
make a choice. Well, Burger King, right? Have it your way.
Right, and then they're like, oh, I feel good, I just made a choice.
Right.
And these are behavior people, and they're just growing like crazy because...
But it's a constrained set of choices, right?
It's constrained, of course, but they still make, they think that they're making the choices, but...
Okay.
I mean,
and you're gonna...
I'm just thinking, like, especially in this city and all these, like, gourmet food trucks and the gourmet coffee stands I see, actually, what they've done is minimize the choices. And I think it's kind of refreshing. For people, I think people respond positively to that.
Well, it's a choice paradox, right?
Yeah.
It's that or choice paralysis.
We're already inundated with choices, right?
Right, and so the classic jam study, right? You've probably heard of this. They went into a grocery store with a jam manufacturer who had like 30 different jellies that they made. They set up a table with 6 jams on it, and when people taste tested a jam, they gave them a coupon. The coupons were all coded, so they knew if the coupon was cashed in or not, if it came from a 6 jam table or the other option. A table set up for taste testing with 24 jams on it. If you taste tested, you got a coupon. So they then counted how many people cashed in their coupons and actually bought one of the jams. And what they discovered was when there were only 6 on the table and people taste tested, they were more likely to buy a jam than when there were 24 on the table and they taste tested. Now that's completely counterintuitive because if you talk to people, everyone says, I want more choice, right? But when you actually look at it behaviorally, you go over a certain number and then the choices become overwhelming. And it's easier to not make a choice than it is to make a choice. So So it's called choice paralysis, or the paradox of choice. So when there's too many things, we feel overwhelmed, like trying to buy a television. You know, it takes weeks and weeks. People are doing research, and it's like, it's a TV, but there's 100 to choose from. So it's really hard to do that, to make a choice. And we feel like it is difficult. So we're struggling with that right now, right? Like, are these too many options? Everyone will tell you, if you ask people, they will say exactly what you just said. I want to make my own. But I would be willing to bet that if you watched it behaviorally, the majority of people who said, I want to make my own, goes into Starbucks and orders something off the menu, right? Rather than the fact that they can go in and come up with some whacked out soy latte recipe all their own, most of those people probably go in and get something pre-made. It's like a Jamba Juice or In-N-Out Burger, right? You can order off menu in all of those places, but most people go in and order something on the menu, the choice that's already there.
Yeah. I wanted to say that this version of an interface, I didn't mean it to be like limiting. I would say it's like helping, giving users some guidelines, something to start from. Because, well, if you just ask which one you want, I don't know. Well, some people wouldn't know what they want. They would.
Well, hopefully the people going to a coffee vending machine know enough about coffee, right? Everyone in the line behind them is going to be bummed out if they don't. There might be a self-selecting sample issue that we could take advantage of. The people scared of coffee probably aren't going to go to a self-serve coffee vending machine. Or if they are, they're going to look for the ready-made recipe first off. Coffee with milk, right? It's like, I want the diner version. Coffee with milk. They don't know anything else. So we're at 9:20 and we haven't managed to do a wireframe. So, did we introduce you to the concept of the zone diagram before? So at this point in time, since we haven't done a wireframe, let's at least capture what our options are in the form of a zone diagram. Let me make this smaller. I don't need that much room. So we've got three options that we've discussed, right? So option one is the idea that there is a sense of place, that there are multiple steps that are going on, that we are building our recipe somehow, and that at each step along the way, we are making selections. So I'm just going to capture this. There's no detail in this at all. I'm just saying, look, there are certain things that are going to happen. I've got like a breadcrumb or a progress indicator or a step meter or something going on up here. I'm building an order summary as I go, and I have a selection area. Basically three zones on the page, but it's not really what the interface would look like. The second model that we had, I'm going to pare it down, was the idea that there were individual recipes. That we give people the opportunity to start with something familiar or a make your own. Which starts the full custom process. So I shortcut right to the end or I make my own. And the third option that we saw was the one where we have, we show what the configuration is. Each one of these things we could tap to edit, and we chose a really graphical approach to some of the key things. Right, so what's going on, and basically tap to edit or change any of them from the default. So if I want more sweetener, I can touch the sweetener and change it to one packet. If I want more different ratio of coffee to milk, I tap that and I get the UI to change, to select something else, and it brings me back to this page. This model, this model is the traditional linear approach, right? This is very much a guided process. I'm stepping through step by step here. This is the classic hub and spoke model. This is my order, and every time I change something, I go out to another state, and when I'm done, I come back. Right? So the order is right there in the center. So linear guided process. This is classic hub and spoke. What do you think this one is in the middle?
A hybrid.
Is it truly a hybrid? How do you hybridize something like that and that? How do you turn something non-linear and linear into a combo?
I think it could be just can I draw it?
It's better to draw. Draw it here, because Lena's on the right track. There is a way to hybridize it.
Well, I was thinking maybe.
But the way we've talked about it wasn't yet.
Well. Draw something in 3D.
Pardon?
It's a way to hybridize. I mean, each of this.
Well, part of the question is, what happens when I click on one of these ready-made recipes, right? If I click on a ready-made recipe, do I get the option to edit any component of it before my coffee is made?
Yeah. If, well, you do.
There's a review page.
Right, there's a review page. So I say, yeah, I want the Americano, and then I go to that page and I add two sugars to it, right, or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I actually do have that option. Here, when I click make your own, I could go this route or this route, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. So I could, on any one of these recipes, I could click and end up here, in a way, right? It's like Americano, and it brings me here, and I see the Americano. Do I want to change anything on it? No, buy this, right? Or it could be Americano, and it takes me to the last step here, which is, here's the total configuration. Is there anything that you would like to edit? And then I say no, buy this, or yes, I go back and I edit. Make your own could drop me over here where all of these things are blank, maybe, you know, and there's just little selectors like choose sweetener, choose dairy, choose coffee, choose temperature, things like that. So it could do it from here or it could do it from here. So it was a bit of a trick question, what model is this? Because what model this is depends upon where each one of these clicks takes me. Do I click here and I move into this linear process? Or do I click here and end up somewhere in this hub and spoke model, right? So it could
but
be.
I thought if you click one R1 to R5, it just goes to checkout.
Yeah, but we have the option, we go to the review page, right?
Right.
Review, so I have the option to edit a ready-made. So it could be this, where I've just added an extra step at the beginning, right? This model. Choice A, it's linear. I just come in, I choose something. Here I fast forward to the end of this process. Here I start at step one of this process. Or it could be something like this, where right? I make a choice, and whatever choice I make here doesn't matter. I'm still going to end up at this hub and spoke model. I'm just going to end up in the hub and spoke model at a different starting point. It's either an all blank coffee or a preset recipe. And I can either buy it at that point or I can change anything that I want. So all this is doing is adding a step at the beginning. We can use either of those other processes after that. Yeah.
Not to further
Oh, like for the coffee neophyte, right? The coffee new.
Yes, it's just like, I just like it where it's not scalding hot, I like it sweet, and I like it without milk, and I say,
oh, then you want a whatever, cappuccino or something like that, because it's got a lot of dairy in it, right? Yeah, that might be, that could potentially be another mode of operation that works backwards, or that actually is a great example of what a wizard would be.
I was going to say a wizard.
Yeah, so this was the guided process because I'm stepping you through what is a lot of choices. The wizard is asking me questions in a completely different format to help me understand what's going on. How sweet do you like things? Do you like your coffee, really strong or bitter or mild? Or do you like lots of milk? And so then this is a recipe that would be good for you. Would be a tool to recommend things. That might be a different mode of operation here, where somewhere in the UI there's a, oh my God, I'm overwhelmed, help me, button kind of thing. Or I feel lucky. I don't know. I'm not going to get into the business of a coffee wizard. I think if it's a coffee vending machine, we're targeting people who know coffee. I'm going to make a business decision, and I'm going to say, let's not do that, because if you don't understand anything about coffee, you're better off talking to a human than a machine. Just because the experience will be better, right? Okay, we're out of time. We still didn't manage a full wireframe, but we did talk more about workflow and some of the options that you might be faced with. Okay, you've seen, there are wireframe examples on the site. You can check out those if you're still not quite sure what they look like. If you have questions, let me know. I will see you next Thursday. Remember, I'm gonna be on a plane Thursday during the day. So if anything happens to that flight, I'm on a flight that should have wireless, so I can contact you. If there's a problem. If you don't get an email, I will see you regular time next Thursday.